Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls drop everything to squee about llamas despite the common sense and logic of one Grumpy Pants. I am Hunter, and I am joined, as always, by Hashtag and Alona. Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. So, we usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we did in Guild Wars 2 this week. Hashtag, would you like to start us off?
Sure.
I'm going to say hello first.
Yes.
I haven't said hello yet.
Well, you could have said hello.
Well, you were plowing on through that. I'm like, oh no.
Yes, hello. Before I get started, I wanted to say, Hunter, did you write the intro this week or did Alona?
I wrote the intro.
The llama bit.
Well, last episode we had to stop the show practically so she could go look at what the llama looked like.
It was adorable. Well, yeah. It was adorable.
It is adorable. And also, I did change what he had, but he changed it to something else, which is better.
Good.
He does not seem to think chagrin is a word that people use.
I don't think that.
It is. All right. So, I don't have very much to share because I've been super busy traveling and working, so I have not actually played that much these past 2 weeks. But I did do Auric Basin meta a couple of times, working on collecting my amalgamated gemstones for the hashtag supposed scepter. And let's see. So I checked out the new Heart of the Mists lobby, kind of bounced around the different areas there, and completed the jumping puzzle with Hunter's help. And I found all of the hidden llamas. And they are adorable. And then, finally, I tried out the new beta Mac client that dropped today.
And how is that going for you, hashtag?
Well, so I downloaded it right away. I don't really know what's going on because on Reddit and on the forum, there are people who are saying, oh, it's so much more stable. And that is not my experience at all. It's been crashing quite a bit for me.
I was going to make a wisecrack about that because I was reading through the Reddit thread and everyone was saying it's stable.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just me. The graphics are flickering for me in certain places. So the trees in Bitterfrost Frontier and in Ascalon, in those places, they were kind of flickering on and off. And I just was, crashing several times, particularly in places where there's a lot of rendering going on. But
do you think a lot of people are playing on a laptop? Because you're playing on a laptop, right?
Probably not. But the fact I can play the non-native client at this point is more stable and I have higher FPS is a little disconcerting. So I don't know really what's going on because I have my settings all the same. And yes, I did turn it off and on again. Thank you, Flipside Parallel. So I'm not quite sure. Part of the problem, though, is the resolution is not, there aren't as many options as there are in the non-native client. So everything looks just a tad blurry to me, which is kind of annoying. Because I've got a really good screen. So.
Do you think you'd notice that if you hadn't played on a different client?
Possibly not. And possibly, I may not have noticed it when I didn't have a Retina screen. But playing on Retina, it's kind of like, whoa, you notice it right away. So I'm still cautiously optimistic. I mean, this is the first step, right? They got to at least get something out there. Their feedback thing is excellent. So every time I crash, I get a pop-up where I can put in detailed information, and it's collecting information from the client. So I feel like every time I crash, I'm benefiting ANET. So it's a good thing.
And you're taking it for the team. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And that's it for me. What about you, Ilona?
Well, that wasn't it for you, but you will find that out when I talk about what I'm doing. So I did some world versus world here and there, not as much like you, hashtag. I was kind of out and about and not physically at home as much the last couple of weeks. So I don't have quite as much. But then, so we didn't stream Guild Wars 1 last week because you and I have been doing that on off weeks, hashtag. Mm-hmm. And because you were away and I was being lazy, it just didn't happen. I thought about doing it with Panther, another guildie, but I was done that day. Uh-huh. I didn't stream anything. We skipped guild missions this past Sunday, but we had a great the previous Sunday, because that's what I typed and hashtag wanted me to keep it. Not a great time.
I don't just even a remember great. How it went.
We did another 3 bounty and did really good.
Oh, yeah.
Got it the
right.
first try. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did the script challenge. Yes. And actually, hashtag, you yes. were able to get internet at your hotel and joined us for at least that one, I think.
That's right. So I didn't have a headset, so I couldn't hear, but I was able to kind of jump in and just do that part.
Mm-hmm. So there's something you didn't put in.
That's true.
And then I did my PvP placement matches for the new league, and I was surprisingly put into the smack dab, basically in the middle of silver.
I've
gone down a little bit from that, but I'm pretty pleased considering I don't think I made it out of bronze ever. So that's nice. It was a little bit of a pleasant surprise. Yeah. And then we've done raiding with Guild Mag, or I've done the raiding with Guild Mag on both Sundays since the last show. We're still on Cairn because that's our stretch goal. Our stretch goal is Cairn. But we're definitely making progress. I know I'm not getting teleported quite as frequently, and I'm where they've positioned us at the start, I'm not getting hit by the arm that comes down and sweeps you around as much. Like, I'm able to dodge that. And I really am getting better at the special action key. I'm still not super duper fast, but I am getting better. I played with llamas in the new Heart of the Mists last night. And I did get them all. And I think I had, you showed a couple of them, Hunter, because we also did the new jumping puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, what, 3 from that?
Yeah.
That you can get out of that. So then there was one I found on my own. And Hunter, you were saying that you were shocked that I got that one because it was an obscure one to find.
It was one of the first ones you got and one of the last ones I got.
Yeah. I think I just got lucky. I have this thing, anytime I see waterfalls, I just need to glide into them or try to fall into them if there's no gliding, just to see if there's secret caverns.
Spoiler alert, Ilona.
Well, by the time the show comes out, everyone will have been there. It's all good. And we played a couple unranked PvP matches last night after the patch hit. It was you, hashtag, again, another thing you did.
Right.
And Panther and Veggie, all from Mock. And we won the first match. Did we only play 2?
Yeah.
I feel like we only played 2.
You may have played more. I only played 2.
Trying to remember if we played 3. In any event, we won the first one. And even though I had read about it previously, I was surprised with the winner's podium screen. Like, it's one of those things you read and you kind of go, okay, that's all well and good, until you experience it, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I really liked it. However, the scorecard completely obstructs it.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. So, and I guess I know you can turn that off, but it almost, your initial, like, huzzah, you guys are heroes, you've won the match. It's like, here's your scorecard right in the middle of everything.
Right, right.
Yeah, ignore this really wonderful graphic.
It's a long-standing problem with the size of their UI is that, like, you can't really resize it, even though there's, like, five different options for large and really large and small. They're all, like, the same size.
Yeah. And generally speaking, it doesn't necessarily bother me so much because normally you're just still standing or perhaps fighting for your life in the match. In this particular case, it's this beautiful panorama podium, winner's podium, and you're like, nope, can't see it until you shut it down. So I don't know what the solution for that is. I'm almost wondering if like a little sidebar stats, kind of like how your dailies or quests or events show up.
And then
if you want to open the scorecard, you can to get further information, but maybe just like the quick info can show up along the side or something.
Yeah, and I do like the pity pile of the losers on the floor.
Yeah, the next match we didn't win, and we're like, oh, I guess the first match, the other team were like, they were out of there. They did not stick around in the pity pile. So we were like, oh, we're just hanging out here while they dance over our corpses. This is awesome. So anyway, I think that's basically all I did. I never even did much of my kind of minutiae maintenance things, so but it was fun. I really like the new map. I think we'll talk about it a little bit further on, and I'll hand it over to you, Hunter.
Okay, well, this week I finally made progress on some of my Shatterer achievements. I specifically finished the Lightning Reflexes achievement, which is dodging the attacks in the air while you're gliding. And I made progress towards the no-fly zone and Branded Bane. I still need, like, to kill 500 branded creatures or something.
How are you? Did you do it on a daily so that you could get some of those, or?
Yeah, it was the daily for the Shatterer. So I just, usually smart. When that pops, I make sure to go in there and work on the achievements lately.
That is
anyway.
A good tip for that one in particular.
I think I've only done the Shatterer about 11 times since they revamped it. So I've only been doing that like the past five times or something that the daily has come up. I spend a lot of time in World versus World, and I'm about rank 750 or so.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I've been nonstop doing the Triumphant Armor Reward Track since I've always wanted to collect all of those skins.
Right.
And I've got about five or six of the skins now, so that's moving along. And there has been a new guild on Northern Shiver Peaks kind of running around cleaning house. They're quite good. I've never seen them before on the server, and the rumor is that they kind of go to whatever server they're paid to go to. So they're kind of a mercenary guild.
Interesting.
But, it's like Wuv Wuv Mercs, the guild name or something?
No, not at all. And I don't really want to name them in case the rumor is not true.
Right.
Okay. That's fair. That is very ethical of you.
So somebody pays for the entire squad to transfer?
That's a lot of
gems.
But if they're paid to get to the server, then that'll be covered.
All right. But who's... I mean, that's...
Who paid for it is the question, and I have no idea.
If it's true.
Yeah. And but they're interesting because they don't really run the way any of the other guilds have run stuff on Northern Shiver Peaks, because they don't focus on taking objectives at all. And at least, you know, virtually every other guild I've run with at least occasionally takes a tower or something, but this guild basically would ignore towers and camps, and they would find out where the enemy zerg was no matter what and go straight to it. So we'd go up to a tower with nothing better to do and start laying down siege, and then they'd find out where the enemy zerg was and immediately leave, and we'd never end up taking the tower. So it was interesting. It was a little ADD, but it was a lot of fun because they actually tended to wipe every zerg we ran into. So that was fun.
Even if you were outnumbered?
Yeah, very much so.
Huh.
even against like much larger servers, we kind of, at least in prime time, were wiping the floor with Tarnished Coast, which is a much bigger server than Northern Shiver Peaks.
Mm-hmm. So with not taking objectives, did you still find it rewarding?
Yeah, because you get a lot of bags from players. They essentially were calling it a bag farm, so if that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
But aside from World versus World, I went into COE, Crucible of Eternity, and although it did not go smoothly, it went very fast. Hadn't done a dungeon in a while.
How does it not go smoothly but also go fast?
Okay, so I was with some fairly pro dungeon runners, and basically we'd go to a boss and we'd kill it in about a minute, but I would be downed twice during that minute. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Not smooth, but fast.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, so I haven't done dungeons in a while. Motivation to do them has waned, and I think it's because of two reasons. One, ArenaNet doesn't take an interest in dungeons anymore, so why should I? And two, I have all the skins and the Dungeoneer title. So I'm like literally no motivation to do dungeons right now.
But what about the pillows that people could carry around?
Aww.
Yeah, surprisingly, pillows are not a game reward. So. So I also have been playing Entangled Depths a bit to buff up my Leyline crystals, because I've been using the Leyline converter item quite a bit to buy T5 mat bags and T3 mat bags and World versus World supplies.
I need to reconstitute some of those things.
Mm-hmm. And occasionally obsidian shards, because all those things are worth getting. Like 5 or 10 obsidian shards for 25 of a currency is one of the best ways to get obsidian shards, in my opinion. But Tangled Depths, if you do like the chain of events, you get like 20 or 30 keys, but the keys in Tangled Depths don't equal currency like they do in the other zones. So I was actually getting really annoyed, because if I had spent 2 hours in Verdant Brink, I would have had like 600 or 700 airship parts, but I spent 2 hours in Tangled Depths and got less than 300. So I was really annoyed. And the whole time there, the Garant didn't pop.
Ugh.
It was just popping as I was leaving. I was annoyed. And, but moving on, I spent 7.8 gold to buy the Abyss die.
Love how precise that
rounded
is.
Rounded down.
Yeah.
He's actually, in the show notes, says 7.81 gold. You could have just around like, I spent around 8 gold, or just under 8 gold.
All right. Okay. Bullies over here, making fun of me. But yeah, that's like the cheapest the Abyss die has been since launch, so I had to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And
I'm tempted.
Dies in general have really sunk in price due to the influx of unID dies from World vs. World and the Black Lion chest dropping a lot of unID dies.
I don't like
dies.
Those Black Lion chest thing.
Yeah,
so many
either.
Unidentified die.
Yeah, I had a Black Lion key drop the other day, and I got like that war paint kit thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like that great.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought that was... Of all the guaranteed items out of Black Lion chests, I know you hate them in the first place, but of all of them, I've liked this one the least. However, I could see how if you were a newer player and really wanted to get dies and unlock them, this has been really great for newer players, probably. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't like them, but... I get it. Fine.
Yeah, but my point being that Celestial Die has also dropped in price, in case you're interested in buying it. It's down
and
to
I am.
Something like 20 gold.
That was yesterday. Have you looked today? Because I'm kind of keeping an eye out.
I have not looked today, but the buy order would be cheaper than 20 gold, just for the record.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And finally, Spirit was working on the Draconis Mons backpack, which she should have did when Draconis Mons was first release, right? Because now she's having trouble getting the Wyvern events to spawn due to the map she was being in constantly closing. That happened to her like 3 times or something before she could get the meta event to spawn the Wyverns at all. So she was repeatedly kicked from maps. So I went to help her and we got the meta event done and the Wyvern to spawn, but nobody would come help us fight the Wyverns. So we got it down, just the two of us, pretty much to 35%, which is kind of proud of that. Yeah. Because those bosses are actually kind of hard.
Yeah, they are. It's impressive.
But we ran out of time, obviously. And yeah, there was like two people there that spent like 5 minutes lying on the ground instead of going to the waypoint and running back.
If they had
just come back, we probably could have gotten it really close to dead, but it didn't end up happening. And that's what I did this week.
Just a quick segue. Two things. One, I finished the Legacy Armor reward track.
Right.
So I was able to get, I forgot to mention that. So I was able to get the Acolyte pants that I had wanted for my character. So I got that. Also, the Celestial Die, the sell price is down to 17.7 gold, and the buy price is down to 15.7 gold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I figured it would keep going down because everyone wants the new whiter white.
Right.
Yeah. Crushed Bone? No. What is
no, it's we're going to talk about Primordis. It later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, the Jorbag.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So it's... I'm thinking about keeping an eye on
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed.
Is all I'm saying. I don't think I'm going to jump on it immediately, but I'm certainly keeping an eye on that price for the.
Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. And this week we asked, which quality of life improvement would you prefer? And here are the results. So, 21% of you want crafting menus to start collapsed. 18% of you want the option to consume all on all types of bags. 12% of you want login customization. And 49% of you want to set minor sigils and runes to trash. And I agreed with the 49%. That was what I voted for.
Yeah, that would save me the most time.
I actually do craft a fair bit, and having to minimize all my the crafting screen stuff every single time, and then you leave and you come back and it's open again. You have to minimize it all again. I'm rage.
I hear you, but I also was thinking, what is the thing that would impact my gameplay the most across all game areas, right? Like WW, PvP, PvE, fractals, everything that you're doing, sigils pile up, runes.
I guess because I would also be, I just go through sell junk and then I just quick sell all the any miners.
Yeah, but you have to have a merchant
with majors and like so because I don't have just minor sigils, I would still have to manually sell the higher tier ones too,
I guess.
Yeah, I voted to set minor runes and sigils to trash, but I've actually heard a lot of people calling to set major runes and sigils to trash as well. I actually sell most of my major runes and sigils because you make like 80 copper profit, something like that.
Like to a vendor or?
On the trading post.
Yeah, trading post.
Oh, I sell them.
Yep. So some of our listeners wrote in with their own ideas or their thoughts on the subject. And at Cake Oryx, who is in chat tonight, said, gonna go with the collapsed menus since it's what I have the most trouble with as a big crafter. So plus one Alona. and Romo said, in all honesty, I'd much rather have those sigils salvageable. And I kind of agree with Romo because That way you wouldn't need a merchant, right? You could just salvage and deposit. Mm. That's very attractive.
I think if you like made them salvageable, you're like, we had a discussion with Romo on Twitter. If you make them salvageable and it produces like a copper ore or something, you're going to make copper ore worthless because the amount of sigils would be, I mean, it would depend on how they made it. Like every 5 minor sigils, you get 1 copper ore maybe or something, but that's a,
what if it's salvaged to something like luck?
Yeah, that could work, I guess.
Yeah, like it doesn't necessarily need to be to copper, but something. Mm. Yeah, I would be, see, rather than a setting them to trash that you just sell them instantly, I think something salvageable would be amazing. And that way you could do it for the higher tier ones as well.
Right. Agreed.
So, yeah, how about sigils to leather? I like it. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
But I like it.
Like the way you're thinking there. Okay. So at Burning Beard said, tough one between consume all and the minor sigils, but I feel the worst offenders you need to consume have been taken care of. And that is true. I mean, we can't forget in the past couple of years, we have had some major quality of life improvements, right? Like consume all on
for
the luck,
and other things.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much luck. Oh, but being deposit
all. It would be
all.
Nice to have.
Remember before there was deposit all?
Yeah. I think those ones, it's more, you could, when you have a ton of bags, you could do open all. And then, you know, it would stop once your inventory was full. And then you could, like, salvage or sell or what have you. So I think my second would actually be the consume all on, bags.
That's a big issue bag wise for the hot zones and for orb versus world.
For so many zones.
Auric Basin. Oh my goodness. All the bags. Yeah. All the bags. And then.
And what was it for login? Sorry. What was the login customization one? What did that
mean? Someone suggested that like you'd be able to rearrange your characters and be able to remove the UI and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be nice.
That'd be fun.
And then at Flipside said, wish there was a way to define what counts as trash in general. Can't imagine what the UI would look like, though. I mean, if you had the customization, let's say you were in your, like, I guess it wouldn't make sense for it to be in your storage stuff. But if there was a way that you could, like, check off a little box by each icon or each name as to whether or not you wanted it to count as trash, that would be really
like
cool.
Not necessarily trash, but like a auto sell.
Right, right.
So and you could select, I want to auto sell these items.
Yeah.
So that when you did a, maybe instead of sell trash, it's a quick sell button. And the quick sell button is trash and anything
that
you set to auto.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
To sell.
What would be really great if Anet didn't classify trash items as exotic or rares, like the peach pits or like various legendary
peach pits
items.
Are going to be something.
There's a reason that those are classified as rares and exotics because we need to keep them.
Khalid Bog. God. Just had this conversation with Spirit. They're going to bring up Khalid Bog. They are.
Flipside saying auto sell this type on right click. That's an interesting idea. And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, obviously, there was the June 20th patch, and we have the release notes. We've shortened them. Of course, we've shortened them. There were profession skills updates. They had Elementalist, and they said, the staff has always been a solid option for support builds, but it has fallen off as Elementalists are relying heavily on Obsidian Flesh and other focus skills for self-survivability. In this update, we have looked at a few of the weaker staff skills to try and make the kit more rewarding for players who choose the squishier option. And we're not going to go into detail on this, just mostly list the skills. There were general updates for Ice Spike, Gust, Static Field, and Eruption. And there were PvP-only updates for Geyser and Arcane Brilliance. Do either you do much with Ellie?
I don't play enough with Elementalists to comment. I know Gust was like hard to target, and then they improved it by improving its targeting. And Static Field is used quite a bit, especially in War vs. World. And
and PvP.
Yeah.
I noticed.
So it's an interesting that they're changing it.
For Guardian, support builds for Guardians have fallen out of favor due to the strength of the support builds on other professions. In this update, we have looked at a few core skills on Staff, Mace, and Shouts to help support Guardians retain viability. And there were PvP-only updates, and they were for Detonate Orb of Light, Empower, Faithful Strike, and Hold the Line. For Necromancer, do either of you have any comments on Guardian? Actually, before I
move on.
Nope.
Samies?
Yeah.
For Necromancer, we looked at enabling, or they looked at enabling, some more bruiser-oriented options for the Necromancer. And there were PvP-only updates for Life Siphon, Dark Pact, and Vampiric Rituals. Hashtag.
You mean
Necro?
Yeah.
Meh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
It's okay.
Because it's PvP only, you're like, I'm fine with it.
Right.
For Ranger, the axe has always been suited to work with hybrid damage stats, with the might stacking of Ricochet combining with the bleeding from Split Blade and Winter's Bite. The latter two skills have very low power coefficients, which prevented them from getting the maximum benefit from might. We have significantly increased the power scaling of these two skills to grant them more synergy with the goal of the kit. And there were PvP-only updates for Split Blade specifically, and there were general updates for Winter's Bite. Unless that's an error, it sounds like Winter's Bite, it's just PvE, PvP, World vs. World, we're all good. There were updates for that one.
I use Axe in World vs. World on my Ranger quite a bit, so an improvement to Winter's Bite is not frowned upon.
I love Winter's Bite as a skill, actually.
I'm
not familiar with it. What is it?
Just puts chill on the person you throw the axe at, essentially, and you can trait for it to do AoE chill.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's... I like it when it's traded for that. For Revenant, Jalas has struggled to remain competitive with other legend options. In this update, they are enhancing some of his underperforming skills with the goal of enabling a more bruiser-oriented build. Ooh, they like bruiser-oriented for some reason.
They do.
Yes, and there were PvP-only updates for Inspiring Reinforcement and Vengeful Hammers. So they're not like going crazy go nuts with the updates. There's just minor, they're touching here and there by the sounds of it on
It wasn't
skills
that long ago that they gave like 100% damage increase to Vengeful Hammers, I think. So I'm surprised that they're touching it again.
Playing with Revenant in PvP?
Yes. I know specifically Bootsbear has a build that he's running in PvP, and I think he's doing pretty good with it. For Thief, there was no preamble. There was a postamble. Is that a word? I'm going to say postscript. So there were PvP-only updates for Choking Gas, and they said they felt that a skill that provides a pulsing AoE daze to such a large area was too strong in PvP. It allowed for coordinated players to completely control downstate situations within the area of effect. So Choking Gas gotten an update for PvP only. For Warrior, they've taken a look at a few of the underperforming weapons, Rifle and Torch. The Torch exists as a more aggressive offhand for condition builds, but it currently does not provide enough pressure to warrant taking it. We have increased the burning output on both torch skills to make it a more competitive option. The rifle lacks in sustained pressure because three of its abilities focused on utility. Because of this, the rifle struggled to kill enemies when volley and gun flame were mitigated. We have increased the damage of aim shot to provide another source of damage to the rifle kit. And there were PvP only updates for Blazebreaker, Flames of War, and aim shot. So,
I play Warrior a lot, and I've used rifle quite a bit. It is such a boring weapon to use because
it takes so long. It's like you're just standing there doing nothing for a long time.
You're really just aiming your rifle and shooting, and virtually nothing else happens. You're not moving around. You're not really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Every skill looks the same and feels the same, even if it's doing different things. But moving on to structured player versus player. As part of the June 2017 competitive feature pack, Structured Player vs. Player will see a custom arena map for 2v2 battles, a new and improved PvP lobby to hang out in, and automated tournaments for a regular schedule of slaughter. So, daily PvP achievements have also been changed. The daily achievement to win a PvP match with a specific profession have been removed. A daily achievement has been added to win a match, and a daily achievement has been added to participate in a PvP tournament. The changes to dailies prevent people from exploiting custom arenas to complete their daily PvP achievements. People would go into custom arenas and essentially just forfeit matches for easy completion of their dailies.
Now, is that official, the reasoning behind it, or is that just our guess?
I wrote that part.
Yeah, because that was my guess why they got rid of that, but I don't know if...
But couldn't you still do the same as in, like, agree
with a team?
You
wouldn't want
to do that
with tournament.
I don't know, like, agree with a team, like, okay, we're going to win. All right, let's do it again. Now you're going to win so you can get your daily win.
I guess, maybe. But you would need everyone to agree to that. And if you have got a custom arena where you can do that, and everyone who goes there is going there specifically for that reason, you're not going to run into people who don't cooperate.
Right.
So, moving on to the end of match. We have introduced a new end of match feature for ranked conquest and stronghold matches. After victory is declared, players are teleported to a unique location on each map. Each player on the winning team stands victorious on a pedestal with celebration skills. This is what you guys were talking about.
And they failed to mention that the losing team is a pity pile on the floor.
A body pile of shame. And also, the pedestal is, in case people haven't seen it, it's really kind of interesting. Once you close your scorecard and can see the screen, there's three different dance emotes you can do. They're like the ones from the book, the volume.
Oh, yes. That why it was data mined? I was reading through some of the data mining stuff, and there was dances in it. And I was like, are they doing something with the dances now? So it must be
probably
for that.
But the front of the pedestals have the icons for, like, revives, damage, you know, all those sorts of things. And if you've had any of those top stats, those icons are lit up below you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's really kind of nice. Yeah, it's really nice. So it's just a shame that the scorecard is there at first. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a useful UI to have to go to look at. I just wish it wasn't there right off the bat. Because this is cool. And actually, when I look over at Cal, my husband, when he's playing Overwatch, when he wins a match, you get that tableau of... hey, we did awesome, or another team did awesome,
right?
But still, but when it's blocked, you initially it's like, meh. Anyway, actually, can I go back very, very quickly to the profession being removed? Do you mind?
Fine.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that I listened to the Wooden Potatoes video he put out today, and actually I was okay with the profession specific dailies being removed in favor of these other ones, and he made a good or an interesting point, I'm going to say good point, that for people who they would actually choose professions they wouldn't typically play in PvP to get dailies. And now people are just going to camp in the professions they want to play all the time, and they might not necessarily experience or learn.
So people are going to be forced to have fun. That's terrible.
Well, I mean, honestly, if I wanted to play a Mesmer in PvP, I would just ignore that daily and do it.
Right.
But there were times, you know, and it, I do actually, I learned I play, like to play Mesmer, or not Mesmer, of course I like to play Mesmer. I like to play Ranger, and I like to play Engie in PvP. I don't really play them much anymore because I've been concentrating more on Mesmer, but I did learn that I liked to play those in PvP because of the dailies. So I kind of see where he's going with that part of it. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that and I had forgotten.
Okay. Moving on to the Hall of the Mists. Hall of the Mists is a new map designed for a 2v2 team deathmatch. In overtime, healing and stealth is disabled while the map is filled with a deadly fog that deals damage based on percentage of maximum health. Have you guys tried that yet? Have you seen anything?
Not yet.
Is it in the queue for ranked or anything? I don't know.
It's not in ranked still, so, but
right.
This sounded fairly, like, I liked that they gave Courtyard the secondary mechanic.
Well, I haven't gotten to Courtyard yet.
Oh, sorry. I jumped ahead. I thought you said you talked about, sorry.
Oh, we were talking about the 2v2.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't tried the 2v2.
Updated custom arena configuration to allow game mode selection, added a new option for number of round victories required to win the match, and respawn is disabled for this game mode. So that's for 2v2. I had removed that, but Alona wanted to talk about it. So there it
do you
is.
Want me to, did you want me to read it?
Do you have something to say about it?
Did I take that out? No, it was the courtyard that I put back in.
I'm pretty sure I took this out. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Courtyard. Courtyard has been given a unique murder ball style secondary mechanic. An altar in the center of the map allows players to commune for a short duration to obtain an orb. Only one orb exists at any given time. While a player holds the orb, score will be periodically given to their team. More team scores.
It's a little bit like crab toss that way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The score going up.
More team score is given if the orb is closer to the center of the map, and the orb will deal damage to the carrier based on their maximum health.
Player, just like the hammer from Cliffside.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Players who die while carrying the orb cannot be resurrected. When a player holding the orb dies, the orb is returned to the altar in the center of the map. So yeah.
I just find that. So I haven't played Courtyard in a very long time, and I actually kind of like the simplicity of it. But this does sound interesting, and I would like to try it. It's again, it's not in the league at all, so I haven't played it in a while. But
I would hate to be the guy holding the orb when a thief stealths up to me and kills me.
Oh, it's bad.
That's actually interesting.
Okay, so moving on to the PvP
for Courtyard.
Lobby, Heart of the Mists has been given a visual overhaul. Added
That's an understatement.
Mm-hmm. Added a public free-for-all arena.
And this, I love your comment, Alona.
Which is very scary when you enter it by accident the first time.
Yeah. Well, where did you think that doorway was going to go?
I did not go through the door.
Did you glide in? Because you can glide in.
Yes. I was gliding around looking for llamas, and then suddenly it was like, wow, redness everywhere. And then I killed someone and I was happy.
Landed
but
in
then
the arena and died. Okay. That was hilarious.
But here's the thing, Hunter. When you're gliding or on the outside, all the players in there have green name tags. You glide over and get close enough, they turn red.
Yes,
it's like,
exactly.
I've made a horrible mistake.
But I do like that you can easily glide out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I... Okay. Yeah, it's dangerous and scary when you... But I just saw the shimmery door. I went, I wonder where this goes. And actually, that door, because I forgot that the... We're probably going to talk about this later on. There's an area beyond that that you can only get to in certain circumstances. And I thought the door took you there, forgetting that that's what that place was. And it took me to death, and I was scared.
I could just say, add an exclusive VIP area accessible to players rewarded with a pass. Timed passes are rewarded through tournament and league play.
Yeah, so I forgot it was exclusive VIP area and thought the door went there because it backs onto that. Made sense that it would be like, oh, I go through here and I'm in that area with the crafting stuff or whatever's there. No, no, you don't go there. You go to death.
So is this only going to go to the, is this the daily tournament or the monthly tournament winners?
Probably both. It's probably through like some currency that you get and you buy one if you want one, maybe. I don't know.
I feel like I read somewhere. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Because it's through league play as well.
20-some players.
What? Really? That is extremely exclusive. Do they get to drink champagne while they look down at you? Like, that would be amazing.
Where was this? Yeah, I mean, I did read that somewhere on Reddit today. I will see if I can find it. But
I assume because it was through league play as well, you would have like a lot of people in like the top tier getting one. But if you're 20 people, it's really small.
If
that is the case.
Right. Automated tournaments are live. So daily single elimination tournaments are run 3 times each day on a shifting schedule to fairly represent all time zones. Qualifying points are earned by participating in daily tournaments and are reset monthly. Each month will conclude with a single elimination tournament. The winning team of each monthly tournament will have their likeness celebrated in the Heart of the Mists as statues until the next monthly tournament.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm. Tournament rewards include llama minis, gold, mystic coins, and more. Tournament registration requires a full party. A new tab in the PvP panel lists all information related to automated tournaments, including rewards, schedule, and live data. I cut a bunch of this stuff. I'm sorry, guys. Alona keeps adding stuff back in. She's evil.
I told you I was putting this back in because I thought it was important. The tournament rewards, it's if you're the top team, it's like 500 gold each. I think 100 mystic coins or 50 mystic, like a lot. Like, it's a lot.
50 like, mystic coins, did you say?
I might be making that up. I can't remember now the exact numbers.
Oh, maybe that would bring down the price. That would be so nice.
It was, well, that's true too. I hadn't thought about it. But yeah, maybe it has to be more than 10. It was a lot. It was a lot. But 500 gold per player.
Mm.
They're probably going to be the same people every month, but those people are going to get ungodly rich.
Yeah. Right? Well, they were already getting gems for winning and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. Where are we?
Woof woof.
Yes. So, World versus World. Simple nameplates for enemies have been changed to triangles instead of circles, making it easier to distinguish between enemies and allies. Yeah, I appreciate that, but it wasn't a big deal. The loyalty pip has been renamed to the commitment pip. The commitment pip is obtained by completing wood division the previous week. And I find that so annoying. Why can't you just be on your server for a long time and get pips for loyalty? Instead, they wanted to change the name from loyalty pip to commitment pip because people were misunderstanding what it is. And that's not the issue. The issue is the balance of how many pips you're getting. I could go on a rant, but go ahead, Alona.
Could you? About the nameplates, the triangles instead of circles, this would be very, very helpful for people with color blindness issues.
True.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why they did it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, World versus World has also switched to a one-up, one-down matchmaking. Oh, they will Friday. Starting this Friday. At reset, World vs. World begin doing a one-up, one-down matchmaking. This means a single third-placing world will move down one tier, and a single first-placing world will move up one tier. Glico data will continue to be updated as it has been when each week's round ends. This way, it's always current when it needs to be relied upon. This is a new test to try to improve how quickly worlds can move into their proper place. We can revert back to Glico if it is determined that the new matchup style is more harmful than helpful. I don't like this because this essentially means like every other week you are shoving somebody into a tier that they maybe don't belong in. And that's true of like every single matchup. So Yeah, I'm not happy with that.
Yeah, I think it could be problematic.
Well, there's always, yeah. Until they try, they don't know, though, really. So, try.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. We'll see how it goes. There were, of course, updates to the Blackline Trading Company gem store. There were been new items and promotions. A new Dormag dye kit containing 6 exclusive colors is now available in the special category of the gem store for 125 gems. And they are, I can't read this, it's super, super tiny. I'm going to make it big so I can read better. Core Ice, Frostbite Blue, Frozen Scales, Frostbite Green, Eternal Ice, Permafrost, which is the super duper, super duper white. And they have on Delphi, she has these dyes, and she also has Celestial as a comparison, and it is...
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It looks
gray. Look at the difference. Yeah.
It looks gray compared to...
Yeah.
Even compared to Eternal Ice, which is more of a lavender...
I was going to say pale. Eternal Ice
but,
looks more
but
like
doesn't
Celestial
give off a little bit of an aura? Like, doesn't it give a little bit of a reflection to it?
I don't think so. I think it was just because it was so bright, comparatively, but not compared to Permafrost. Permafrost is hella bright. I actually really like these colors. I really like Eternal Ice and Frostbite Blue. The green one's a little too minty for my liking. That's just me. But and Core Ice is a really nice blue as well. They're lovely.
I can't believe Kristen Perry is still pumping out new colors. Because like when she first started out, she was like, we can only do this many colors. And now we're like at the 20th dieback with new colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm still holding on for patterns and plaid.
I think patterns would be so cool.
Oh, so cool. It would,
plaid
would
be
it
cool.
It would change everything, Hunter, because like fashion wars would just... mind blown, right? Because you can only do so much with armor dyeing. But if you can add patterns on, that completely could change an outfit completely.
Or like an oil slick. Like, I mean, they do have a color called oil slick, but I mean that, like that texture that you see often in ore, that oil, you know, the oil slick color. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. And if you there's that Guild Wars 2 baseball cap that you can put on. If you can make that plaid, that would be awesome.
Oh,
so good.
So cool. So
anyway,
good.
We're digressing, not segueing. A new God Slayer bow pack is available in the style category of the gem store for 700 gems. It is both a longbow and a short bow. You get each of them as skins. And they're all right. I'm neutral. I don't hate them. I'm not like running out to buy them. But what are you guys' thoughts?
I thought they were pretty good. I think the skins they've pumped out over the past few weeks have been really nice.
Yeah, I mean it. I could certainly see how it would work with some people's aesthetics for their characters.
Did we forget to put in the faux fire gloves?
Which were from the week prior.
It would be last week, but I don't think we talked
think they
about
were last
them on the last
week.
Show.
Yeah.
Those are really
there
nice.
Were, yeah, the faux fire wraps are quite good. Quite good. And I do want polka dots, now that Zero's mentioning that one. Anyway, the sport sunglasses are back by popular demand for the summer and are available in the style category for 150 gems. And it's kind of interesting because previously they weren't dyeable, the frames anyway, and now the frames are dyeable, which is kind of interesting.
If I wanted to cosplay a douchebag, this is how I would start.
Yeah, we were talking about
this going
earlier.
To?
They really don't, they just don't really fit in with the overall style of Guild
There's
Wars.
So many things that are like that.
I know,
already.
But it's kind of why
you can't really pick on this particular one,
right?
That.
But I think that's why they haven't let town clothes become part of the wardrobe.
That isn't why? That's not why. I'm not sure why, but I don't think that's why. It should. They should be part of the wardrobe, and or outfits. But Oh, Zero feels bad for... I like them, Zero. I just don't... Like, you know it'd be cool to make a character that looked like a Secret Service agent? These would rock for that.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's all... And make, like, Agent Smith?
Alona likes them. She just likes every single other thing more.
Oh, you suck so bad.
All the things.
There was a forum post where they talked about additions to the material storage. Didn't we already talk about this last time?
No, I don't think so.
I thought we did. They made an update thread for the...
I put this in like the day after it came out into this episode.
So Lindsay Murdoch has made an update thread on the official Guild Wars 2 forums concerning her side project updating material storage to hold more items. She's proposing to add 125 new items, 3 new categories, and she'll be changing the rarity of some items to better fit categorization. She mentioned that she refuses to let the project go on for an entire year before she finishes it. Wait.
Huzzah!
She mentioned the refusal to let the project go on an entire year.
Are you going to mumble your way through that last line?
That's it. That sentence is reading awkward for me. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
She first posted about the project about 7 months ago.
Oh, because so, I put about twice. My apologies. So 125 new items is way more than I thought she was actually going to add. I thought she'd add like 20, maybe 30 things. Mm-hmm. Oh, and did you look through the list of things she's adding? So many. Oh, it saves so much space. It's ridiculous.
We talked about this on the last
a
one.
A lot of crafting like the plus elements.
Plus one infusion.
Mm-hmm.
So many. My bags are going to be so empty in the place. I'll fill them with more crap. Amalgamated gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Washing basins or whatever they're called. Milling basins.
Washing basins. All these armor sets, gotta keep them clean. Scrub.
I myself instantly. You two cracked up.
I want a backpack now that's a washing basin to carry around.
There was also an update today laying the groundwork for a native macOS OS X 64-bit test client, and they dropped it Beyonce style. We already talked about that earlier on with hashtags experience with it, which does not appear to be the typical one of Reddit, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. People are... I wouldn't say that people are 100% saying it's fantastic on Reddit. I think that the people who are excited on Reddit haven't downloaded it yet, the vast majority. There are some comments on Reddit about the rendering and a couple things. So I'm not that far out of the
moon. Okay.
Right. But I mean, it was exciting because they did put that update in the update notes today. They just said, you know, they're laying the groundwork, and I tweeted it out because I thought, oh, this is fantastic. Like another step, it'll be like maybe a couple months, and then boom, they dropped it right away. And everybody was kind of like, whoa, today. Okay, cool.
This is happening. Yeah. RF now.
And last week, I mentioned something about the power of the mists, and helpful Redditor Rude Asura posted a brief guide to the power of the mists on Reddit. I thought since so few people actually know anything about the power of the mists buffs, that it would be helpful to briefly cover this, since I was wondering about it on the last show. The power of the mists were a series of buffs that were attained through World versus World for everyone on your server. They included buffs to XP, gold find, crafting criticals, health, defense, endurance, regen, healing power, and gathering. And around halfway through the week, you would have some of those at like 10%, 20%. It's pretty massive buffs, and these buffs are now gone, replaced by the rewards for skirmishes in World versus World. Likely a quid pro quo situation for the Wovlov team. They give up. Do you really need to laugh just because I typoed something earlier and it was fixed?
Yes.
likely a quid pro quo for the World Love team. They give up the power of the Mists in order to increase rewards for World versus World players. It's a significant change that flew under the radar a bit, so I thought we'd talk about it. Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I get why. I loved it. I would often notice, like, oh, I got more hits off of this herb or this or like the tree. Mm-hmm. And so I'd look to see how my world was doing in World versus World. Like, oh, we're doing really well, so I know I'm getting buffs. And I think, though, that was lost in translation. Like, I knew it was happening because I had read about it prior to the game coming out, or as the game was coming out, and I really liked that, how they had World versus World having PvP ramifications. And it was definitely more important before mega servers and all those things. And so I understand why. I'm a little sad to see it go. I think newer players wouldn't have noticed it at all.
Yeah, I think the only people that really knew about it were World versus World players, because they would occasionally tab through their UI and see it and wonder what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did pay attention to it, but I probably was in a very small minority for that, so I totally understand. And in this way, then, it's the people who are... It was World versus World people doing work that benefited people who never set foot into World versus World, potentially. And now the benefits of being in World versus World are for people who are playing in World versus World. So I totally get it. And yes, I did say getting hits off herbs, and then I had to change it to trees as well because I realized how that sounded. Thanks, Panther, for pointing it out. So, yeah, I get it. I'm bummed, but I get it.
So now we're going to transition into our session we like to call the default mail carrier. We also have some listener mail and tweets to read this week. Brandon emailed us to say, I recently made a forum post with this question that turned out to be pretty popular, and I'd dig your opinions. What are your 5 most hated Guild Wars 2 maps and why? And we struggled with this a little bit because
we struggled
with the wording hate, right? Because we felt like, okay, you know, you could take the maps and kind of rank them and then come up with your lower ones, the ones at the bottom of your rankings, but I wouldn't necessarily call those hated, just less liked, right?
Yes. So I also said this is a super hard question because I legitimately do like all the maps.
Every single map. Yeah, that's not hard to believe.
Every single map and most things because I
and
am that
brunch
way.
With Hitler, yes.
Oh my god. No. I wouldn't show up. Anyway, when I thought about this, how I put myself in the mindset to try answer this is I thought about map completion, and if when I'm trying to do map completion, if I come across a map that makes me go, ugh, those are the ones I put here. So of those, and this is, they're beautiful maps. It's just the, oh God, I got to do map completion on that map. Caledon Forest, Sparkfly Fen, Iron Marches, Snowden, and Plains of Ashford. And it's only because map completion.
Yeah. So is it the fact that you have to do every event, every vista on it, or is it just boring?
I think, Caledon, I find, for a starter map, really big. Probably same with Plains of Ashford.
It's fairly extensive, like, content-wise, I would say.
Yeah.
But I feel like all the starter maps are like that, right? Because they want to give a full experience to those 1 through 15 players without feeling like they're in over their heads.
Well, those are the most important levels for any new player, because that's where they decide if they're going to continue playing or not.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like Kick Oryx is saying that they love Caledon. And Caledon Forest is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. And there's a lot of variety in it, but it's just the... When I see, I got a map, Cal.
Right.
And And it's, again, all of them. Like, I love snowy maps. I like Snowdon. But you guys had comments on some of these. I think there's a little bit of overlap. So what did you think, Hunter?
I wouldn't, same as you, I wouldn't say I hate any map, but yeah. Straits of Devastation can be difficult slog to make work for a single player, like getting the event chains going and doing anything really by yourself is a bit annoying, and some of the terrain can be a bit confusing. Mm-hmm. But I'm used to it now, so it doesn't really bother me anymore. And I would say I think the very initial area of Plains of Ashford is confusing in its layout, which is
I got
bad
lost a lot of times there.
Yeah, it's bad for
the
new
top
players.
Left area. Yeah.
Even if you're just leaving Black Citadel and entering Plains of Ashford, you're traveling east out of Black Citadel, and when you enter Plains of Ashford, you're heading almost north. So it's very disorientating. And plus, you know, there's that area that's hard to get out of that you were just mentioning. And unless you know the way out. And yeah, it's just a bit confusing for a brand new player. And another zone would be, oh, as I mentioned earlier, it's a pain to get rewards for Tangled Depths, though I don't have the same issues as other players with getting around. I'm used to that zone by now, so I know all the shortcuts and the bouncy mushrooms and the updrafts and how to get from place to place. Wallows really help in that zone. And yeah, I just had the three zones. I didn't really have any other zones to go by. Hashtag, did you have any zones you wanted to talk about?
Did I?
she wanted to put the same map three times or five times.
Hunter vociferously disagrees with me on this one, but Drytop, I dread any time I have to go into Drytop. I don't like the verticality. I don't like having to use the special action jumpy things to get around. And that might have to do some with my client and lag and things like that. So it's just not as enjoyable for me because I feel like it's just frustrating. I also don't really enjoy the landscape. I
think it's that might be your graphic settings, though.
I don't know. I think it's like just desert all the time.
But
I don't
the
know.
Lighting
Red Rock Canyons.
Yes. The lighting is so gorgeous and dynamic, but...
And the sandstorms.
Oh, so good.
I don't know. I don't know.
But if you don't enjoy it, you don't enjoy it.
I don't
know. Yeah, if you want to be a weenie, that's fine.
Okay.
Hey.
And then I put Malkor's Leap, kind of for similar reasons that Hunter was mentioning, Straits of Devastation. But I also put everything in their mother wants to try to trip you. You can't get from point A to point B without getting, you know, pulled, entangled, stopped, tripped. And it's,
really?
It's just annoying.
I love Melkor's Leap. It's one of my favorite zones.
Well, there
that
you
is
go.
A complaint. That is a complaint I have about Straits as well, is that everything's got a chill or a cripple and you just takes forever to walk anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Wayfair Foothills, this is kind of similar to what you were saying about starter zones. It's just totally irrational. I really have nothing against this zone. I'm just tired of it because I've done it so many times for map completion, new characters, Norns, that sort of thing. So, I mean, I get why people like it. And it's actually one of the zones where I suggest people start, like my students, because it has so many different biomes in it.
Mm-hmm. That's why,
you know,
I like it.
Yeah, it's cool. But if I have to do
you're
that,
done.
No, if I have to do that Raven Riddle one more time, Tangle Depths. Yeah, I mean, what more do I need to say? I've gotten to the point now where I don't mind Tangled Depths if I'm going in there to do the Garant or I have something specific that I'm trying to do. But I don't like Tangled Depths for map completion because I feel like there's certain areas of it, certain spots of it that are just really painfully punishing, particularly for solo play. And then finally, I put Lake Doric on here. I don't mind Lake Doric the map. It's more Lake Doric the things that happen on the map.
The events, they don't scale well anymore. So it's just kind of, I don't know, annoying and hard. It's hard to get the dailies sometimes, depending on how many people are on the map and what the dailies are. So I guess the best way to put it is, out of the 5 Living Season 3 maps, Lake Doric is my least favorite. So I tried to kind of spread out, like Heart of Thorns map, Living Season 3 maps. I've got one Living Season 2 map, and then PvE maps, or Central Tyria maps. So kind of trying to pick my 5 from the different areas.
Oh, actually, I was going to say, if I had to swap out any of these for a different one, it would be, what's the map that I hate so much in PvP? Which one is it? Hashtag. Legacy of Fofar. I hate that map. That's the map I hate the most.
Oh my gosh.
I would actually say the hate word for Legacy of the Fofar.
I don't mind it. I don't, I mean, like, I don't love it, but why don't you like it? What brings this hatred out?
I just hate playing that map. When it gets selected, I am palpably upset. I dislike it so much.
Fair.
I don't do well on it. I just don't care for it. And finally, this is where we brag that people know me and our guild hall smells of rich mahogany, which isn't necessarily true on either of these cases, because I just wanted to take a moment. This is Boasts of Ascalon, and I wanted to take a moment to thank listeners for their in-game messages. They mean so much, you don't even know.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, I literally logged on, and within the first 30 seconds, someone had whispered me and said that they were enjoying the show. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so, so much. That is lovely, lovely to hear. So that was brief. I didn't want to call anyone out on that.
Yeah, if I could just say that I'd like to thank people for not messaging me and bothering me. You guys get me, and I appreciate that.
The worst.
Oh my gosh.
So moving on from Boasts of Ascalon, tonight we are doing Toasts of Ascalon, and sometimes we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast to their existence. This episode we wanted to call attention to Guild Mag's recent post called "The Casual Approach to Raiding," with topics such as "Are Raids for Me?" and "How and Why Not to Be Afraid?" and "Tips for New Raiders." I have not looked at this yet.
It's good. It's an excellent rundown. Actually meant to put it in. They had at the very end a very quick thing that I thought was quite good, and now I just need to find it. It was under the accept responsibility for mistakes, and which sounds harsh, but it was, I thought, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Everyone does. To progress, you need to own every mistake you make and attempt to learn from it. Frustration is a normal emotion when learning, especially if you make repeated missteps. But letting this get the better of you will only compound the problem. A positive attitude is key to progressing and enjoying your experience. Guild Wars 2 is only a video game, after all, and you are really... And are you really going to let that one mechanic prevent you from obtaining your raiding goals? As Winston Churchill once said, success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. So there's a lot of tips in here, some really great pointers and explanations. And I will tweet out a link to this on our Twitter. And I can put it right now into chat for the people there and take a look at it. I just really, that one paragraph I thought was really important. And I don't think it applies specifically to raiding. I just thought it was a good across the board paragraph.
Agreed.
And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact Hashtag on Twitter at #thetag with 2 A's for some reason, 3 A's. Or sig.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage Alona at OneBigPair or in game at OneBigPair.1249. You can listen directly from our website at there's two ats there. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com or grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. every other week. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on July 5th, so put that in your calendars. Good show, Alona. You are a sneaky bugger for attempting to change the outro again. Thank you for, quote-unquote, blessing us with your presence.
And I didn't change it or even attempt to change it this time, so Hunter, you're a jerk.
Hunter.
I was just predicting your behavior based on past experience.
I did it once!
More than once.
A few times. Yeah, I've done it more than once.
I think we've all been guilty.
I also like that we're asked people to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Subscribe on all three.
Yeah. Yep. All the things.
I think I might change that to or.